Sponsorship of the KQED live audio stream comes from Stanford Continuing Studies. This winter, join Stanford historians James Sheehan and David Kennedy for The Cold War and Its Legacies, exploring the global impact of this pivotal era. Learn more at continuingstudies.stanford.edu.
And online at kqed.org.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Alzo Slade.
And I'm Peter Sagal. Just in time for the holidays, our government has a solution to all our travel delays. The good news, your flight will leave on time. The bad news, you'll miss it because you were still getting dressed. We'll ask why we should dress for the trip we want. Plus, Andy Richter joins us to talk about his recent triumph on Dancing with the Stars. And Alzo Slade, filling in for Bill Curtis, reveals he was finally allowed to use Bill's special microphone.
It's like an Instagram filter for your voice.
We'll ask what's really going to make us sound better right after this hour's news.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Nora Rahm. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth says U.S. forces will continue to attack suspected drug cartel boats in the Caribbean. At least 87 people have died. Members of Congress and others are concerned the strikes are not justified and may violate international law. In a speech at the Reagan National Defense Forum yesterday, Hegseth said the operations are to protect Americans, comparing them to the U.S. response to the September 11, 2001 terrorist attacks.
Here, again, we've been focused, and here we've been clear. If you're working for a designated terrorist organization and you bring drugs to this country in a boat, we will find you and we will sink you.
He said President Trump has the power to take military action as he sees fit to defend the nation. The suspect accused of planting pipe bombs near the U.S. Capitol in 2021 told federal investigators he believed conspiracy theories that the 2020 election was stolen from then-President Trump. He also expressed views supportive of Trump. The account comes from a person familiar with the investigation who wasn't authorized to speak publicly. NPR's Mara Liasson reports.
For years, Trump supporters, including Dan Bongino, who is now the deputy FBI director, have claimed that the pipe bombs were an inside job. But the suspect was apparently a Trump supporter who told law enforcement that he believed the lie that Trump won the 2020 election. Speaking to Sean Hannity on Fox, Bongino explained why the facts are at odds with what he used to say as a paid podcaster.
I was paid in the past, Sean, for my opinions. That's clear. And one day I'll be back in that space. But that's not what I'm paid for now.
Now Bongino says, quote, I'm paid to be your deputy FBI director, and we base investigations on facts. Mara Liasson, NPR News.
3 days of high-stakes talks between U.S. and Ukrainian teams in Florida ended without a breakthrough. NPR's Elner Beardsley reports.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky is projecting determination and a cautiously upbeat tone. And U.S. Envoy Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner said the process is moving forward, even if no major concessions emerged. The key sensitive topics still to discuss include territory, the use of frozen Russian assets, and security guarantees for Ukraine. Ukrainians and the Europeans fear the U.S. will pressure Kyiv to give away too much to Russia. Speaking over the weekend, Ukraine's top commander said it would be unacceptable for Kyiv to surrender territory it has fought for and held on to. Separately, the Kremlin welcomed the Trump administration no longer calling Russia a direct threat in its revised national strategy. Eleanor Beardsley, NPR News, Kyiv.
Russia unleashed massive drone and missile attacks on Ukraine's energy infrastructure overnight. Zelensky goes to London tomorrow to meet with European allies on the war. This is NPR News in Washington.
Live from KQED News in Oakland, I'm Dana Cronin. West Contra Costa Unified School District teachers say they made significant progress toward a deal in negotiations with the district yesterday. Teachers started an open-ended strike last week and held a candlelight vigil last night as talks were underway. Here's Francisco Ortiz, president of the teachers union.
Well, you know, it's been a hard and difficult last couple of days. And, you know, candles signify hope. We're hopeful that we can come to an agreement, and it's up to management to, you know, make that happen.
The teachers union says it's back at the bargaining table today to, quote, finish the job. The Teamsters union, which represents classroom aides, clerical workers, and food service staff, is also on strike and encouraging its members to hold strong. The district says negotiations yesterday lasted nearly 7 hours, and they'll provide an update on negotiations today. Drought conditions in California are improving, with only parts of the state's southern half abnormally dry, according to the latest U.S. Drought Monitor map. That's after heavy rains in October and November, and despite a lower-than-average snowpack so far this year. Andrew Schwartz is the director of the UC Berkeley Central Sierra Snow Lab.
Even though we don't have a ton of snow yet, the rains made up for that a little bit, but we definitely want to see more snow start falling soon.
Schwartz says California ski resorts are starting to get anxious about the lower-than-average snowpack, but the 10-day forecast shows there's a chance of some snow in the Sierras. I'm Dana Cronin, KQED News.
Support for NPR comes from the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, recognizing extraordinarily creative individuals whose ideas, solutions, and discoveries expand people's expectations of what's possible. MacFound.org. And support comes from the listeners like you of KQED News. Have you signed up yet for our kid-friendly newsletter? The newsletter comes once a month. It's filled with activities that are, that's right, kid-friendly. This month's newsletter is all about holiday adventures. Sign up for it at kqed.org. Mostly cloudy. Areas of widespread dense fog this morning, then becoming partly cloudy. Highs on this December 7th, Pearl Harbor Remembrance Day. The 50s to mid-60s for the Bay Area. 50 to 55 for the southern Sacramento Valley.
The following program was taped in front of an audience of real live people.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. Hey there, Arizona. I'm Alzo Slade, filling in for Bill Curtis, who is somewhere in the desert on a vision quest. And here's your host at the Arizona Financial Theater in Phoenix, Arizona, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Alzo. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Phoenix. It is so wonderful to be back here. Now, you know how they say you should dance as if no one is watching. Andy Richter just danced while everyone in the world was watching him on Dancing with the Stars. Later on, we're going to ask him about becoming, as one judge put it, the people's princess. Right now, it's your turn to compete. Give us a call. The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Let's welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hey there. This is Liz calling from Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, Liz. How are things back in Chicago?
It's very cold, Peter. I'm jealous that you're in sunny Phoenix, Arizona.
Well, let's back up a little bit. How cold is it there?
It's like 4 degrees, I think.
4 degrees. Wow. Wow. These people in Arizona didn't even know that was possible. Well, Liz, welcome to the show. Let me introduce you to this week's panel. First up, she's a writer and a comedian who most recently wrote for Clean Slate. It's available on Amazon. It's Shantira Jackson.
Hi, Liz.
Hey, Shantira.
Next, he is the host of the long-running daily podcast TBTL, as well as the public radio variety show Livewire, which will be live at Revolution Hall in Portland, Oregon, on December 11th. It's Luke Burbank. Hey there, Liz.
Hey, Luke.
And finally, a comedian you can see December 10th and 11th at Dead Crow Comedy in Wilmington, North Carolina, or a New Year's Eve at Good Nights Comedy Club in Raleigh, North Carolina. It's Alonzo Bowden.
Hello, Liz.
Hey, Alonzo.
So, Liz, welcome to the show. You're going to play Who's Alzo this time. Alzo Slade, filling in for Bill Curtis, is going to read you three quotations from this week's news. You expected that. If you can correctly identify or explain just two of them, you'll win our prize, the voice of anyone you might choose in your voicemail. Liz, are you ready to do this?
Let's do it.
Okay. Your first quote is the Secretary of Transportation, Sean Duffy, this week.
Let's try not to wear slippers and pajamas.
With holiday travel coming up, Duffy was telling Americans to stop dressing like slobs while they do what?
While they fly.
Exactly, on airplanes. Sean Duffy, in charge of improving our transportation system, says Americans need to start dressing better on airplanes. This sucks. My only fancy shoes are made of bombs. So Duffy apparently blames this epidemic of terrible behavior we've been seeing on planes on people's sloppy clothes. He is calling for a return to the golden age of air travel where people dressed up. You could smoke on the plane next to any pregnant lady you liked. And your plane had a 1 in 3 chance of being hijacked to Cuba.
Which, by the way, might be an upgrade right now.
It's true.
I don't know if he's flown lately, but I can't fight in a tuxedo. Right? You get on a plane, you got to be ready for
That's
action.
Terrible. Some guys ready to go at you. You're like, wait, I got to take the studs out of my sleeves
exactly.
Here.
You don't know what's going on the plane. Like, if you're on Spirit and you're not ready for action, then that's your own fault. You know, he got the suit to bury him in. He's wearing it right now. You know, it's dangerous up here. People are reclining their seat well over 3 inches.
All I know is that my nicest clothes are my biggest clothes.
Really?
So it's like, if you got a big dress on, you got a nice suit on, it's like a lot of clothes. And I don't know if you've been on the plane lately, but my nicest clothes, I'm not going to fit. I'm not going to be able to sit down on Southwest if I got on a nice dress.
You don't want your nicest clothes dredged through Biscoff cookie crumbs?
I think if 5 guys get on a plane in suits, everyone's going to be nervous.
That's true. That's also true.
What's going on? Who are they transporting? What's about to happen?
All right, here is your next quote.
They want to block out the sun. What could go wrong?
That was the headline of the Washington Post about the growing movement to block out the sun, to actually block the sun in order to slow what?
Global warming.
Global warming, climate change, that's right. You can applaud, not for global warming, but because she got it right. A number of billionaires, including Bill Gates, are funding research and projects to block out the sun, a plan endorsed by climate scientists and mad scientists. And speaking as someone who has never seen a single movie, this sounds like a great idea. The technology is called solar geoengineering, and it works by injecting reflective particles high into the atmosphere, which sends, if it works, the sun's rays towards other planets. So it's your problem now, Venus.
Are you sure it's not like a giant umbrella that comes out of the top of an island shaped like a human skull where Jeff Bezos lives in the eye socket? Because I feel like that's the movie version of this.
Really, we're just being ruled by Bond villains. I mean, it's amazing. We humans, we are astounding creatures. All we have to do to save our only planet is, like, build windmills and bicycle more. And we're all like, nah, let's kill the sun.
Well, as someone who lived in L.A. for 40 years, from 80 to 2024... And I was there when we had particles blocking out the sun.
Yeah.
Didn't work too well.
No.
You inhale those particles, and there was a lot involved. I'm scared of any plan that Marjorie Taylor Greene would say, that makes sense.
Yeah, exactly. Bill Gates, by the way, one of the reasons this is in the news, is Bill Gates has come out as someone who is trying to fund these particular scientific efforts to block the sun. After failing in his plan to block the Epstein files.
So I wonder what their plan is. What are you going to have to pay for sunlight? Because you know that's like, they'll block out the sun and like, oh, you want a sunny weekend? Well, that's going to cost you some money.
Oh, yeah. You know it's going to have to be a subscription deal. You want the sun back.
You don't have the premium plan?
Yeah. You don't keep your sunlight.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I will be honest. I don't think that white people are going to pay for more sun.
No.
I might pay for some sun, but I don't think they're going to pay for sun.
All right, Jen, here is your last quote. It is from the owner of a new karaoke bar.
It's like an Instagram filter for your voice.
She was talking about what technology that is now being added to the karaoke experience.
Is that going to be auto-tune?
It is going to be auto-tune. According to the New York Times, karaoke is going upscale with nicer spaces and lounges, and yes, many of them will provide auto-tune for your singing. Come on, we already have technology to make anybody good at karaoke.
It's called drinking five Coors Lights.
What's going to happen to T-Pain?
That's a good question.
Oh, buddy.
They're going to take his whole thing.
No, people are going to be doing his greatest hits in karaoke. It's great.
No, the real question is, what's going to happen to J-Lo?
Oh, don't worry, Alzo. J-Lo will be all right. Nobody was listening to J-Lo. All right. No, Peter, as someone who agrees with the description of karaoke as the Japanese revenge for World War II, I have no desire to hear people who can't sing sing. Like, there are so many people who can sing. I'm going to go ahead and listen to them.
You think?
Peter, I love you. You're a great guy. You're brilliant. I don't want to hear you sing.
I do.
No, you don't. I think everyone here does.
Yes.
No. I think the billion-dollar idea with karaoke is not even an auto-tune. It's in editing the song so it's just the good part.
Yeah.
Here's what I want to hear. Just a small-town girl living in a lonely world, and then cut to the Don't Stop Believin', and then get off the stage.
Right.
I don't need all the in-between stuff. I had no idea how much in-between stuff there was in songs until they invented karaoke. Hey, Someone needs to edit the songs into just being like 2 minutes.
Luke, that in-between stuff, they call those lyrics.
Oh.
There's a word for that.
I'm not a trained musician. This is the first time hearing of this. By the way, like, this is part of an entire movement to make karaoke more upscale, right? This is true. Some luxury apartment buildings, part of their amenities, a dedicated karaoke room.
That would make me move out.
Right. I think it was Sean Duffy who said we just have to dress better for karaoke.
I think that'll do it.
Really improve the experience. Also, how did Liz do in our quiz?
She did amazing. 3 out of 3.
There you go, Liz. Congratulations.
Thank you guys so much. It's been
awesome.
Thank you. Liz, it's been great to have you. Stay warm, and we'll see you when we're back in Chicago in April.
Sounds good.
Bye-bye. Right now, panel, it is time for you to answer some questions about this week's news. Luke, at a cabinet meeting this week, after blasting the media for claiming he was showing signs of fatigue, President Trump did what?
Gently dozed off.
He did. He had a little nappy. In the same meeting where he complained the media was unfairly criticizing him for seeming tired, Donald Trump fell asleep a number of times. It's not surprising, no disrespect, but the man looks like what if a CPAP machine came to life. I have to say, though, to me, this is what makes him relatable. He goes into cabinet meetings with the confidence I have when I say, sure, it's 8:30, mm-hmm. but absolutely, honey, we can start a whole movie right now.
Yeah.
I mean, falling asleep at work is real American thing to do.
Yeah. It really is.
Yeah, I mean, I just woke up 5 minutes ago.
Yeah. To be fair to the president, he does have an absolute good excuse why he's so tired. Every night this year, when he tries to go to sleep, he's visited by 3 ghosts who start by saying, okay, let's try this again.
Time for Bit Baby Monster. Monster Bit time is near. Rest your horns on the pillow till morning. Mommy is here.
Coming up, our panelists approach the bench in our Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT-TO-PLAY. We'll be back in a minute with more of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
Hi, it's Peter Sagal from NPR's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. I'm already drafting my New Year's resolutions. Among them, next year, I'm going to start drafting my resolutions even earlier. And, you know, well, read more books and stuff. But I'm also going to keep asking you to support public radio, because some things I just don't need to change. Thanks.
Visit kqed.org/donate.
Support for KQED on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me comes from Ben Delacreme presents the Jinx and Della Holiday Show, starring Ben Delacreme and Jinx Monsoon, December 19th at Golden Gate Theater. Tickets and VIP package info at jinxanddella.com. And European Sleepworks, the store that bases its design and materials on research factors affecting sleep, including comfort and support, humidity levels, and ease of breathing. Details online about their mattresses and bedding at sleepworks.com.
I'm Nina Kim. Next time on Forum at 10 a.m., have you ever wanted to erase a painful memory? Neuroscientist Steve Ramirez has succeeded in turning memories on and off in mice and says that someday we'll be able to do the same in humans. But should we? We talked to Ramirez about the ethical dilemma and the personal experience that caused him to consider erasing his own memory. His new book is How to Change a Memory. That's Forum at 10 a.m. on KQED.
Support from NPR comes from NPR stations and BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy and helping clients find balance. Clients are matched with one of 30,000 therapists for online therapy from anywhere at betterhelp.com/public. Made in cookware. Made in cookware is crafted by chefs, for chefs, and designed for restaurants and home kitchens around the world. Their cookware can be found at madeincookware.com. And Your Part-Time Controller, specializing in nonprofit accounting and committed to supporting nonprofits with financial management services such as budgeting and forecasting. YPTC.com/NPR. From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Alzo Slade. We're playing this week with Luke Burbank, Alonzo Bowden, and Chantira Jackson. And here again is your host at the Arizona Financial Theater in Phoenix, Arizona, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Alzo. Thank you, everybody. Right now, it is time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game on the air. Hi, you are on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Nick Smith. I'm calling in from Los Alamos, New Mexico.
Los Alamos, New Mexico? Dare I ask, what do you do there at that famous place?
I am a staff scientist in the Nuclear Engineering and Nonproliferation Division at Los Alamos National Laboratory.
Wait a minute. So you work at Los Alamos National Laboratory, which famously helped make the first atomic bomb, but you work in non-proliferation.
That's correct. I work on securing the back end of the fuel cycle for radioactive waste and use nuclear fuel to make sure it's safely and securely disposed.
Oh, okay.
Nick, could you also hide the codes?
Just for a while. Please. Well, Nick, it is nice to have you with us. You're going to play the game in which you have to tell truth from fiction. Alzo, what is Nick's topic?
I object.
So you have to get out your gavels. This week, we heard about some disorder in a court. Our panel is going to tell you about some courtroom chaos in the news we found this week. Pick the panelist who's telling the truth. You'll win the waiter of your choice in your voicemail. Are you ready to play?
I am indeed. Let's
All
go.
All right. Let's hear from Chantira Jackson.
Jailhouse Rock took on a whole new meaning in a Missouri courtroom when the longest-serving circuit judge in St. Charles County, Judge Matthew E.P. Thornhill, was forced off the bench because of his uncontrollable enthusiasm for Elvis Presley. According to disciplinary records, Judge Thornhill would often wear plastic Elvis wigs along with his robes, offer witnesses the chance to swear on an Elvis song instead of the Bible, and constantly referencing Elvis songs in his remarks from the bench. Judge Thornhill claimed that he was just trying to add some levity to the proceedings, because nothing is better than walking out in handcuffs to a little less conversation, a little more action. The judge loved Elvis so much that he even wrote in his bio that, quote, "If I just had Elvis's hair, I'd be unstoppable." Well, he doesn't have Elvis's hair, and he was stopped. After a six-month suspension, he will retire. So like Elvis, he is probably going to have a pretty blue Christmas.
A judge forced from the bench only because of his enthusiasm for Elvis Presley. Your next courtroom drama comes from Alonzo Bowden.
Bill Savoy is an institution in upstate New York, an umpire for generations of Little League players, which might explain what happened when he went to court with a property dispute, according to the Syracuse Post-Standard. Mr. Savoy claimed his neighbor built her fence a foot over the property line. The neighbor had a surveyor's map, but Savoy said, quote, "A blind man could see that that fence is in his garden," unquote. It was then that Judge Michael Laz began his own line of questioning. Reminding Mr. Savoy he was under oath, the judge asked him about a 3-2 pitch that bounced in the dirt in a game last summer that Mr. Savoy called a strike. The judge then brought up a 3-0 pitch in the same game that the batter ducked to avoid, yet was also called a strike. And then, quote, What about the time you called a runner out at the plate when the ball was still in the air? Mr. Savoy meekly admitted that he may have missed a few calls. The judge stated Mr. Savoy was obviously no expert in what a blind man could see and ruled against him. Over in the gallery, the judge's son, Michael Laz Jr., star of the Syracuse Junior Mets, was observed to pump his fist and say, "Justice is a bitch, isn't it?"
An umpire answers to a higher authority in court. Your last discovery phase comes from Luke Burbank. Someone once said, every day the internet picks someone to focus on, and your job is to make sure that person is never you. And yet, it's now happened twice to Rudy the Bailiff of Contra Costa, California. First, when he was sworn in back in 2023, because you see, Rudy is a 9-year-old, slightly portly, yellow lab. Now that's doggone justice, the New York Post wrote back in the day. However, the headlines were quite different last week when Rudy the Bailiff was caught up in a bribery scandal. Also involving County Prosecutor Daniel Noonan, who allegedly used begging strips in his pocket to get Rudy to bare his teeth and stare menacingly at witnesses the prosecutor wanted to intimidate. When asked about it, Rudy the Bailiff lowered his head and stared into the middle distance, refusing to answer further questions. As of press time, he remains on paid leave, ALPO, and is standing in the corner of the courtroom being so damn pathetic the grand jury almost can't even be mad at him anymore.
So here are your stories of courtroom shenanigans from Shantira Jackson, a judge in Missouri forced off the bench because he just would not stop quoting Elvis Presley. From Alonzo, an umpire answers to a judge who was not pleased with his on-field calls. Or from Luke Burbank, Rudy the Bailiff, a dog bailiff involved in a bribery scandal. Which of these is the real story of judicial mayhem?
Well, I'm really moved by Alonzo's story, but I think I'm all shook up for Shantira's Elvis judge.
You mean the one about the guy who got into trouble by making unwelcome references to Elvis songs?
That's the one I'm going with.
I see. All right. Well, to bring you the real story, we spoke to an expert.
Maybe if a school bus driver was into Elvis, that's fine. But a judge, totally inappropriate.
That was Stephen Leto, a lawyer with a YouTube channel, Leto's Law, weighing in on the Missouri judge who was just a little too Elvis-y. Congratulations, Nick. You figured it out. You got it right. You're into point for Shantira just for telling the truth. And you have won our prize, the voice of anyone you might choose for your voicemail. Congratulations.
Thanks, Peter. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Take care.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye. And now the game we call Not My Job. We were delighted to see our friend Andy Richter on this season of Dancing with the Stars, in which he inspired a whole lot of supporters online to call themselves Fandies. He and his dance partner, Emma Slater, lasted far longer than most expected into the competition, with Andy being dubbed by the judges the People's Princess. We are delighted Her Highness could join us here on stage in Phoenix. Andy Richter, welcome back to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you.
So,
and I should say, yes. It wasn't the judges. It was just somebody online started calling me the People's Princess.
Okay.
Yeah, which is incredibly flattering.
It really is.
Yeah. And I really am hoping for a tiara for Christmas.
Why not? I have to ask, were you Dancing with the Stars has been around for a while. Had you always wanted to be on it?
No, quite the opposite. It always seemed like a terrifying prospect. And then I didn't work very much for a little while, and it seemed kind of a good idea.
Yeah, really? Yeah. Did you seek them out? Did they call
you? No. It was way back in April. I got an email from my agent saying, you know, they've offered you this. And I've told this before. My first instinct was, say no and don't tell my wife that they asked.
Right.
Like, just because, you know. And then a minute later, I felt like, I have to do this. And so I said yes. And then as it got closer, I just thought, oh, I've made a terrible mistake.
Tell me about your dance experience and expertise before this all began.
I'll just tell it to you in an anecdote that my wife reminded me of when I said yes to Dancing with the Stars. For our wedding, my only requirement for our dance was that the song be the shortest one possible.
Right.
Because I wasn't comfortable. I mean, I can dance.
So wait a minute.
You know,
so,
with some drinks
what
at a party.
What was the song? Was it like the boot up tone from Microsoft Windows?
Yes.
What was it?
Brian Eno.
It's done.
Yeah, it was my ringtone.
Yeah.
No, you know what? Oh my God, I don't remember.
You don't remember,
Peter? How dare you set Andy Richter up that way on national radio?
She's gonna listen to this, and I'm not. Oh, what a jerk I am.
So I guess what I'm saying is...
In many other ways, I'm an excellent husband. Just not that, now.
No. We finally heard about it. And so what was the preparation? So, like, you show up, you say, I've been to the gym, I've been doing my cardio.
Yeah. You start dancing. You start being taught a routine.
Did you get assigned a partner, in your case,
yes.
Emma?
I was lucky enough to get Emma Slater, who is an angel and really an amazingly talented person, an amazing choreographer. She understood me. She understood, like, how to teach me.
Right.
Because I don't enjoy being pushed.
Right.
You know, like, the hard line kind of thing, I just say, F this, goodbye. So right. I need to be treated, you know. And also, she's very fun. And she also, the part of her genius was that she said, oh, and by the way, every day we're going to make two or three TikToks.
Uh-huh. Mm.
And I said, okay, just because I was saying okay to everything at that point. And we started doing them. I didn't understand them. I was saying things like, wait, we're just doing what someone else has already done? We're not doing anything different?
We're just doing the thing on TikTok.
She said, yeah, yeah. And I was like, well, shouldn't we put a twist on it? She said, no, just do it. All right, and we just do it. And I very quickly, she would point and say, look how many views this got. And I'd be like, 1.3 million?
Right.
Like, yeah. That's what?
And this is...
That number has never been connected to me other than for taxation purposes.
and this... So I watched a lot of your dances... And I'm saying this with complete love and respect, speaking as a man that for good reason has not danced in public for 25 years, but it kind of seemed like your job was to stand still and watch with amazement while your partner did amazing dance moves sort of around you.
Andy, don't let him do you like that.
But, and here was the charming part, you made a lot of very expressive faces as you watched her dance about.
No. You make it sound like, I mean...
You weren't entirely...
I moved from one point to the other, and there was footwork that I had to remember.
Really?
Yeah. Yes! Yes! I'm not saying I was great,
okay.
But I danced.
You danced.
We believe you. There were people online, too, that say, he just walks around. I'm like, what do you think dancing is? If not syncopated walking!
Hey, Peter.
You expect me to fly?
Yes, absolutely.
Peter. I really do think if Andy wasn't dressed as nicely as he is, he would kick your ass.
But wasn't that part of the appeal of to
well,
all the fans?
Well, there's certainly they've had people on that show who are outright elderly. So yeah, they're not going to kill them, you know. And that there always is kind of an aspect. And I was the oldest person there. So, yeah, I'm not going to be doing a lot of flips and stuff.
Right.
But I certainly did learn to waltz. I learned to cha-cha, a foxtrot. You know, I pulled off a foxtrot. So, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And thank you. Thank you. And by the end, too, I was with each new week's dance, I would learn it in one rehearsal.
It was like
have the ability.
You had one rehearsal.
Yeah,
you can do that.
I can remember. Yeah.
Wow. You sort of learned
that
muscle.
Like, thank you. Yeah. No. I thought of it as like between my head and my feet, there was no wiring. And or it had crusted over or something, and that by the time we were finished, the wiring was there. And I mean, I was never. I tried to emulate the real dancers because I would do the dance that we were doing that week and think, oh, I really nailed that one. I really got it. And then we would look because we'd record it on our phones, and I'd look at it on the phone. And I'm like, look at that old man stomping around, waving his arms. Yeah, I just was like, it doesn't, when I do it, it does not look like the way the dancers do, you know.
It's funny how that
happens. I would try to, I tried, you know, in different times to sort of emulate the sort of more sort of fluid movements. And it's, you know, as I said, I was a rhino in a gazelle contest.
Yes.
I'm never going to be a gazelle.
There you go. The people's princess. Well, Andy Richter, it is always such a pleasure to have you on our show. And as always, we'd like you to play a game that this time we are calling
Gotta Dance.
So given your performance on Dancing with the Stars, we thought we'd ask you about somebody who was really good at dancing, Gene Kelly. Answer 2 out of 3 questions about the legendary song and dance man, and you will win a prize for one of our listeners. Also, who is Andy Richter playing for this time?
Firma and Barry Kipnis of Prescott, Arizona.
Nice. Not far from
locals.
Here. Locals.
Locals? Are they here?
I don't know. Are you here?
No. No. Apparently not that big a fan.
No. All right. Ready? Here's your first question. Gene Kelly went from being a dance instructor in Pittsburgh to one of the biggest movie stars of all time. What was among his many secrets of success? A, custom-made motorized tap shoes. B, pants that were one size too small to accentuate his butt. Or C, whatever the music you heard watching him on screen, on set he was always dancing to the same song, Home on the Range.
I think it's the butt pants.
You're right.
Yeah.
And if you've ever seen him, you'd know that's true. Yeah, Not only did he have his pants made a little tight, he would sometimes make sure his male co-star's pants were a little loose. Okay. Kelly went on after his own career on screen to be a director. He directed the movie Hello, Dolly.
Mm-hmm.
And the star of that film, Michael Crawford, said that he got the part after Kelly said which of these to him. Was it A, quote, "You remind me of a young me before I knew how to dance." B, quote, "We can shoot somebody with talent from the waist down and edit it in." Or C, quote, "We're looking for an attractive idiot. My wife thinks you're attractive and I think you're an idiot."
Boy. I think maybe the third one.
The third one.
Yeah, about the wife and the
You're
idiot.
Right. You know this business. You know these people. That's exactly what he said. And he is kind of an attractive idiot in the film, so it works out. All right, last question. You could be perfect here. Gene Kelly and his wife hosted these massive parties for his famous friends in Beverly Hills, and a mainstay of those parties was what? A, Kelly's toe tap and punch, which was just, as it turned out, grain alcohol and red food coloring. B, Kelly challenging any guest there for the first time to a dance-off. Or C, a cutthroat version of charades that could last for 24 hours straight.
It's got to be the charades.
It is the charades, Andy. A man who's been to his Hollywood parties.
24 hours
24
of
hours.
Charades.
They would sometimes, it was known as the game.
Yeah.
We're going to play the game.
Wow.
Yeah. True story. Also, how did Andy Richter do in our quiz?
He danced his way to a perfect score, 3 out of 3.
You did.
Thank you.
There you go. Andy Richter was the people's princess on this year's run of Dancing with the Stars. He is the host of the Three Questions with Andy Richter podcast, which airs Mondays on the Sirius XM app or wherever you might get your podcast. Please give it up to our friend Andy Richter.
Thanks so much.
Andy, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks a lot. Thanks so much.
In just a minute, Alzo has a warning for plant lovers everywhere in our Listener Limerick Challenge. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to join us on the air. We'll be back in a minute with more of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
On KQED, where support comes from Oakland Ballet, presenting Graham Lustig's The Nutcracker, December 20th and 21st, a beloved holiday tradition and magical holiday experience in Oakland's iconic Paramount Theater. Tickets at oaklandballet.org. And Post. Peninsula Open Space Trust. Now, Post has protected and cared for more than 93,000 acres of open space on the peninsula and in the South Bay for the benefit of all. Learn more at openspacetrust.org.
She wrote a poem called Song for a Lady. And that little poem, that little scratch of a poem,
was so beautiful, and it gave me a little glimpse of intimacy, of actual happiness that I could aspire to one day.
Join us for more True Stories Told Live. Next time, stories of eye-opening encounters on the Moth Radio Hour from PRX.
Beginning at 11 o'clock, followed at noon by the New Yorker Radio Hour.
Next time on the New Yorker Radio Hour, Donald Trump's least favorite senator, California's Adam Schiff.
He spends an inordinate amount of time thinking about me. I live rent-free in that guy's head, and let me tell you, it's pretty scary in there.
Senator Adam Schiff, next time on the New Yorker Radio Hour.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and Workday. Workday is an AI platform for forward thinkers dedicated to transforming the way business leaders manage people, money, and agents today so they can transform tomorrow. Workday, moving business forever forward. Progressive Insurance, where drivers can compare direct rates using Progressive's rate comparison tool. Customers can see options and rates side by side. More at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. And StoryWorth. Each week, StoryWorth emails a loved one a question about their life. After a year, StoryWorth will publish their stories and color photos in a book to keep for generations. Learn more at StoryWorth.com. From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Alzo Slade. We're playing this week with Luke Burbank, Alonzo Bowden, and Shantira Jackson. And here again is your host at the Arizona Financial Theater in Phoenix, Arizona, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Alzo. In just a minute, our delicious limericks get 3 Michelin stars in our listener limerick challenge game. If you'd like to play, or you know, if you just love us, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Right now, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. Shantira, there is a new kind of party to go to, where you get together with your friends for a hot night of what?
Watching Dancing with the Stars.
No, I wish. Here's your hint. Bring your party dress, your outstanding bills, and your shoebox of receipts.
Oh, you do your taxes.
Yeah, you do paperwork.
Yeah.
This new trend is paperwork parties, or as one Wall Street Journal columnist calls it, admin night. This is a party that really tests the age-old theory that anything can be fun if you drink enough. But if you do drink, be careful. You don't want to wake up the next morning like, oh, man, what did I deduct last night?
Do you have to do your own paperwork? Because there's some paperwork I like and some paperwork I don't. Can we swap?
What's the paperwork you like?
I like filling out my airport stuff.
You do?
Yeah, I like to see how many points I can get from stuff on my credit card. So, yeah, like if there was an option, is this like a taxation, like, swingers party?
Pretty much, yeah. Everybody throws their stuff in a fishbowl.
We put our keys in a bowl, and you do my paperwork.
Exactly. So the idea, you see, is, like, everybody has to do all of this. Everybody's dealing with credit cards and accounts and online stuff, and it's a pain in the butt. So why not everybody get together, and you can help each other. Oh, I know the number to talk to a real person at this company. Mm-hmm. You swap it.
I think that's called the office.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get together with a group of people and do something unfun until you're done with it.
No, this is great. It's a great way to, like, you and your friends to support each other. You can pool your knowledge, and it's a great way to find out which of your friends are drowning in debt. Yeah. Luke, a remarkable new study suggests that children's health will be affected if their mother smells what while she's pregnant.
Is this something that generally is thought to be dangerous or toxic?
No, it's a smell that is generally thought to be very, very lovely, as long as you're not a vegetarian.
Ah.
Or kosher, I guess.
Okay, bacon.
Yes, bacon. Child's health, future well-being, can be affected if their mother smells bacon while they are pregnant with that child. So we know eating bacon is bad. Now, even smelling bacon can change your life. The study shows that if the mother only smells bacon, her offspring are more likely in life to become obese. This is because chemical signals can be transferred to the developing fetus, which goes, oh, yeah, first thing I do when I get out of here is get me some of that.
Is this an American study? Because if it is, I don't think that's the problem.
Remember, We've also fired a lot of the scientists in this country. So
that's true.
Also, women, when you're pregnant, I don't know, but I do know a lot of people who've been pregnant. You only have so much. Do not take bacon away from pregnant women. They need it.
Really, honestly, they might kill you if you try. Alonzo, this week we learned about the newest trendy appliance for your home. It's a washing machine, but it's specifically designed to clean what?
Wow.
Not your clothes, not your dishes.
It's a washing machine for something besides clothes and dishes. Right. Your pickleball paddle.
Be careful, this is Arizona. Most of these people moved here to play more pickleball.
That's why I said it. You got to keep that paddle clean. Can you give me a hint?
Sure. The shampoo and body wash pods are sold separately.
Oh, to wash your body?
Yes. They're human washing machines. It's a new invention by a Japanese electronics company called Yamada, and it looks like a spa bed, sort of, and it uses microbubbles and steam mist to provide a full body clean in just 15 minutes of operation. It's amazing. That only takes 10 minutes longer than a shower. Think of the time you'll lose.
This sounds to me like putting you through a car wash.
Yeah.
Right? Just zip
which,
you through.
Which, let's all be honest, we all dream of, right? Yeah, I still do. I will say, though, you know, with the relaxing warm water jets and gentle scrubbing, it's more like a human laundry machine, you know, than a dishwasher, which means it will be great until it gets to the spin cycle.
Yeah. You wash yourself on too hot, you come out, you're like a child.
Yeah.
Splish splash, I was taking a bath, long about a Saturday night. Yeah. A rub dub, just relaxing in the tub, thinking everything was all right. Well,
coming up, it's Lightning Fill in the Blank, but first it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. You can see us most weeks at the Studebaker Theater in downtown Chicago. And come see us on the road. We will be in Bloomington, Indiana on February 26th. For tickets and information to all our live events, go to nprpresents.org. And if you like our show but not enough to watch it for more than just a few seconds, check us out on TikTok at WaitWaitNPR. Hi, you're on Wait Wait Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Katie from Norman, Oklahoma.
Hey! Okay, Norman, Oklahoma. What do you do there for fun in Norman?
Pottery.
Pottery?
And play with my dogs.
Yay. Pottery and play with your dogs. So you throw pots?
Not for the dogs, not yet.
Not yet, okay, yes. Welcome to our show, Katie. Alzo Slade, filling in for Bill Curtis, is going to read you three news-related limericks with the last word or phrase missing from each. If you can fill in that last word or phrase correctly, and two of the limericks will be a winner. Ready to go?
Yep.
Here is your first limerick.
All these houseplants are meant to impress, but I'd like to be doing much less. Fresh water, fresh soil, and pruning is toil. It's raising my levels of...
stress?
Right! Turns out that too many plants in your house can stress you out. It makes sense. Plants are great until you get back from a trip and you realize, oh, they don't water themselves while I'm gone. Researchers at Stanford invited volunteers to do difficult work in rooms with different amounts of houseplants and then noted their level of stress. It turns out the optimum amount of houseplants is enough to fill 20% of your field of vision. If you're seeing plants everywhere you look, right, you start thinking, oh, man, how the hell am I supposed to put all those plants through plant college? And plants taking up 100% of your field of view is very stressful because you realize you blacked out and woke up naked in the woods again. Yeah.
You are in the Amazon.
Exactly.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to live in a greenhouse.
That'd be weird.
Unless they're growing weed.
Yeah, that'd be good.
In which case, you got a place to hang out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, here is your next limerick.
Confused as to what the attacks meant, the lion pride followed the track scent. What the other pride spoke, they took as a joke, because their roar had a regional...
bent?
Not bent. It's a two-syllable answer, rhymes with tax meant, tracks sent.
Accent.
Yes, there you are. Scientists have discovered that lion roars have different accents depending on where the lion is from, and furthermore, they think this might be what the hyenas have been laughing at. And if you want to hear a great accent, meet a Scottish lion.
Roar! I think lion roars all sound the same behind you.
Yes, exactly.
You don't worry about where that lion's from. No. That one of those West Side lions about to eat me?
All right, here is your last limerick.
Dogs with underbites look around smugly. Because they look weird, we humans act snugly. Sleek dogs with much grace are losing first place. We all want a dog that is
ugly.
Ugly, yes. Ugly dogs are in. According to the Wall Street Journal, when once high-status dogs were like the golden retrievers or Afghans, now, quote, at the end of every second leash lurks a rat with an overbite or a pop-eyed goblin, unquote. Which is also why so many vets are saying to dog owners, yeah, don't know how to tell you this, but there's really no need to spay or neuter this one.
Nature's got it covered.
Really. The journal described one very currently popular breed, the Chinese Crested, as, quote, a dog that got left in the microwave. So if you really want a dog that's on trend, get one that's so ugly, other dogs keep going up and sniffing its face.
I feel like a cat wrote this. This is right up the cat's alley.
Yeah, the Wall Street Journal is entirely staffed by cats.
Yes.
I mean, these days, maybe.
So do you compliment someone on how ugly their dog is?
Well, they have ugly dog contests.
They have an ugliest dogs contest, yeah.
Well, then I guess you do.
And how do you suggest that to them? Hey, we really love Mr. Freckles, but I see a future for him in ugly dog contests.
Right. What you say is, you know, as long as you love him.
Yes. Right.
As long as you love
him. Oh, your dog, it's got such a lovely personality. Also, how did Katie do in our quiz?
She got 3 out of 3. Perfect score.
Congratulations, Katie. Well done. Thank you so much for playing.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye. Now on to our final game, Let Me Fill in the Blank. Each of our players will have 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill-in-the-blank questions as they can. Each correct answer now worth 2 points. Alzo, can you give us the scores?
Of course. Alonzo and Luke are tied up at 2 with Shantira in the lead with 3.
Okay. Hey, Shantira. The Shantira stands are excited.
We'll see how long it lasts.
All right. Let's arbitrarily pick Alonzo to go first. You're tied for second, so here we go. The clock will start when I begin your first question. Fill in the blank, Alonzo. On Wednesday, the Department of Homeland Security began blank raids in Minnesota and Louisiana.
ICE.
Right. On Monday, Costco sued the U.S., seeking a full refund of President Trump's blanks.
Tariffs.
Right. This week, heavy rainstorms caused dangerous blanks in Indonesia, Thailand, and Malaysia.
Floods.
Right, and landslides. According to meteorological data, parts of the U.S. will soon face the blankest weather of the season.
Coldest.
Right. This week, Zoran Mamdani and the Louvre topped the list for 2025's blanks.
People of the year?
No, 2025's most mispronounced words. On Sunday, Leo XIV arrived in Beirut as part of his first trip abroad since being named blank.
Pope.
Right. On Monday, one of the last privately owned blank eggs sold for over $30 million at auction.
Fabergé.
Right. This week, a politician in Namibia legally changed his name so that he will no longer be called by his birth name, blank.
Namibia?
No. He will no longer be known by his birth name, Adolf Hitler Uunona.
Oh, dang.
Why would you give that up?
Yeah, I don't know.
You're the only one.
I mean,
it's true.
First of all, you get the Hotmail account.
True, yeah. Right.
Nobody
there.
Else is taking that.
How long did it take him to decide?
Well, he is a grown man. Adolf Hitler Uunona, who's been part of the government there since 2004, says his parents gave him the name without understanding the historical significance behind it. And now he's happy. He will no longer be known as Adolf Hitler Uunona and is excited to run for re-election under his new legal name, Adolf Hitler Williams. Also, how did Alonzo do in our quiz?
He did all right. He got 6 right for 12 points, which gives him a total of 14 and the lead.
Well done. All right. Luke, you are up next. Please fill in the blank. On Tuesday, top U.S. officials met with Vladimir Putin to discuss an end to the war in blank.
Ukraine.
Right. On Thursday, the Supreme Court ruled that blank could use their gerrymandered congressional map.
Texas.
Right. This week, House Democrats released photos and videos of blank's private island.
Epstein.
Right. On Tuesday, the GOP won a special election in blank, but by narrower margins than expected.
Virginia?
No, Tennessee. Oh. Overwhelmed emergency rooms in England are begging people to stop coming to the ER for blank.
Toothbrush lessons.
No, hiccups. According to a new report, blank consumption is declining globally.
Alcohol.
Right. On Friday, the first matchups of FIFA's 2026 Blank Cup were announced.
World.
Right. This week, animal control officers were called to a liquor store in Virginia after a raccoon broke in and blanked.
Got drunk and trashed the place.
Pretty much. And passed out in the store's bathroom. According to animal control, the raccoon had somehow managed to get into the store, sampled a lot of liquor, and then passed out spread-eagled face down on the bathroom floor.
It was really freaking cute.
It was pretty adorable.
Way cuter than when I do it.
Yeah. All right, Alzo, how did Luke do in our quiz?
Well, Luke also got 6 right for 12 points, and now he is tied for the lead with Alonzo.
All right, so then how many does Shantira need to win it all?
Shantira.
Yeah.
6 to win, sis.
All right.
6 to win.
All right, here we go. This is for the game, fill in the blank. On Wednesday, GOP Representative Elise Stefanik questioned blank's effectiveness as Speaker of the House.
Oh, what's his name? Johnson?
Yes, Mike Johnson. On Thursday, the admiral who oversaw one of the U.S.'s lethal blank strikes.
Oh, missile.
Boat strikes.
Yeah, the Venezuelan.
Yeah, yeah. On Monday, AT&T said they were ending their blank initiatives.
DEI.
Right. After a man in China's car started making weird sounds, mechanics discovered the noises were caused by blanks.
There was just a man in there sleeping.
No, 40 pounds of hazelnuts stuffed under the hood. For the first time ever, the average price of a new blank rose above $50,000.
Cars.
New cars, yes. On Wednesday, Spotify released the 2025 version of users' blanks.
It's like your Spotify list.
Your Spotify Wrapped, it's called. This week, a company that makes a device to play sounds like rushing water and birdsong to cover up bathroom noises announced their newest sound, blank.
Your mother saying she loves you.
No, their new sound to cover up bathroom sounds is artillery fire. The Royal Flush is a wall-mounted device that offers pleasing sounds of nature to cover up whatever else might be happening in there. And it now features extra strength sounds, including artillery fire.
Oh, man.
This explains why the last time you had a party at your house, one of your friends was like, hey, where's your bathroom? I got to go save Private Ryan. Also, did Shantira do well enough to win?
Almost. She got 5 right for 10 more points, a total of 13, just 1 point shy of the fellas.
And that is how it always happens.
In just a minute, we're going to ask our panelists to predict what will be the number one song on everybody's Spotify Wrapped next year. But first, let me tell you all that support for NPR comes from NPR stations. And Dignity Memorial, for many families, remembering loved ones means honoring the details that made them unique. Dignity Memorial is dedicated to compassion in every detail of a life celebration. DignityMemorial.com. BritBox, committed to helping viewers unbox the unexpected over the holidays with British TV, including original series Lindley, and a new season of Karen Peary, streaming at BritBox.com. And Subaru. The Subaru Share the Love event runs through January 2nd. By year's end, Subaru and its retailers will have donated more than $350 million to charity. Subaru, more than a car company. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and WBEZ Chicago in association with Urgent Haircut Productions, Doug Berman, Benevolent Overlord. Philip Gotica writes our limericks. Our public address announcer is Paul Friedman. Our tour manager is Shane O'Donnell, thanks to the staff and crew at the Arizona Financial Theater. BJ Lederman composed our theme. Our program is produced by Jennifer Mills, Miles Dornbos, and Lillian King. Special thanks this week to Blythe Robertson and Monica Hickey. Peter Gwynn is our Gleep. Emma Choi is our vibe curator. Technical direction is from Lorna White. Our CFO is Colin Miller. Our production manager is Robert Newhouse. Our senior producer is Ian Chillog. And the executive producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is Mr. Michael Danforth. Now, panel, looking forward to next year. What will be the top song on Spotify Wrapped? Shantira Jackson.
Anything Beyonce does, please give us Act 3.
Luke Burbank.
For some reason, Hit the Road, Jack.
And Alonzo Bowden.
I don't know what it is, but the conservatives will not approve of the song.
And if we hear any of those songs, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you so much, Alzo Slade. Thanks also to Alonzo Bowden, Shantira Jackson, and Luke Burbank. A very special thanks to everyone at KJZZ here in Phoenix and to our fabulous audience here at the Arizona Financial Theater. Thanks to all of you for listening, wherever you might be. I'm Peter Sagal. We'll be back in Chicago next week. This is NPR.
The Moth Radio Hour has stories and lots of them. Next up at 11 o'clock, KQED. Support for KQED comes from San Francisco Ballet, presenting the holiday tradition, Nutcracker. Listeners can experience the captivating music, magical performances, and an onstage blizzard. Runs now to December 28th. Tickets at sfballet.org. And Xfinity, delivering smart Wi-Fi, mobile, home security, and entertainment to help power a seamlessly connected life. Learn more at Xfinity.com. Xfinity, imagine that. Weather picture? Well, depending on where you are in our listening area, you may or may not see the sun today. We're starting the day out with mostly cloudy skies, low clouds in many areas, areas of dense fog. Partly cloudy for much of the Bay Area by this afternoon, highs the 50s to mid-60s. Sacramento, widespread fog, then